To turn to the 12th chapter of Mark. And you know, there's something unusual about this particular passage that we have today. Three, and I don't know how many there were, but three of the multiple parables that Jesus spoke are told three times. And if I were to ask you to guess right now, what are the three that were told by Matthew, Mark, and Luke in their entirety? And the only three out of all the ones that he spoke. And those three are the parable of the sower. And you remember that one. The second one is the parable of the mustard seed. And both of those things have to do with growth in the kingdom of God and how this tree grew and became massive and was used to illustrate something. The third is the story of the wicked husbandman. And that's where we've been. So if the Holy Spirit told it three times, I think I'm in good company when for the third time I ask you to look at this particular parable. I'm in line with what is said in other places. So we will complete, Lord willing, what I'd wanted to say to you about this passage. It's in the 20th chapter of Luke. It's in the 21st chapter of Matthew, and it's here in the 12th chapter of Mark. And that's what we will be using today. Now, there are some individual differences as Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell the stories. And I'd like to point out the differences that I've jotted down in my notes. First, Luke abbreviates it. He doesn't talk about the tower. He doesn't talk about the wine press. He doesn't talk about the fence. He has a shorter version of this. When Mark records it, he reverses the way they handle the son. You know, they kill him and they throw him out of the vineyard. And his order, not that it makes much difference, but there is just a difference. And I think that underscores what the Lord did for those who were writing these inspired words. You know, we have ladies that serve wonderfully well as court reporters, and they write down whatever is said. Now they have these machines and different things. Brother Howard Fish, one of the elders at Grace Avenue during my time there, was a court reporter. And he could do it by the shorthand that he knew. And then from his shorthand record of what was being said, transcribe these things. But they tried to be saying exactly what was said. I tell the story a lot of times about the secretary that corrected her boss, and she said, "If you don't mind, I'm going to change a sentence. You have said to a man you're writing about the purchase of a bull, and you said this bull is a brother of mine, and I know you meant that he's a brother of a bull that you own." And he said, "You say it just exactly like I said it." And she said, "Okay, you know your kinfolks better than I do." So a stenographer is going to try to duplicate what you said. But as God gave these men the inspiration to write, he left them with their own personalities. Mark is going to be the one who uses all the quick words, immediately, forthwith, straightway. Luke's going to use certain and all of that all the way through. Matthew's going to talk about the kingdom of heaven. So the individuality of the scribe is left. And I just want you to see that some of it is unfolding that way. They all talk about the owner of the vineyard being gone for a long time. And it's been a long time since that Easter morning, as the world words it, and as Brother Richard skillfully handled it, the resurrection in the springtime of Jesus Christ. And that's been a long time ago. So it's been a long time that we have awaited his return. There's another thing at the conclusion. Luke is the only one that draws from the audience the words, God forbid. He said this is going to happen to the Jewish people, and they said, God forbid. Mark is going to refer to plural parables that Jesus told, but he's just going to tell the one in that. So let's go to the 12th chapter of Mark and read this, if you will. And he began to speak unto them of parables. A certain man planted a vineyard and set a hedge about it and digged a place for the wine vat and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went away for a far country. And at the season he sent to the husbandman a servant that he might receive from the husbandman of the fruit of the vineyard. And they caught him and beat him and sent him away empty. And again he sent unto them another servant, and he said to them and that they cast stones and wounded him. Wounded him in the head and sent him away shamefully handled. And again he sent another, and him they killed, and many others, treating some and killing some. Now only Mark adds all that. Having yet therefore one son, his well-beloved, Monogenes, he sent him also the last unto them, saying, they will reverence my son. For these husbandmen said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance shall be ours. And they took him and killed him and cast him out of the vineyard. What shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the husbandman and will give the vineyard unto others. I got to think about that. Suppose this morning there was some way that God called together the elders and the deacons and the preachers and the Bible school teachers from the youngest to the oldest in this group and said to that group of teachers here at Neely's Bend, I just want you to know within the next 40 years, Neely's Bend is going to be no more. I will see that it is obliterated. What would you do? What do you imagine elders and deacons and preachers and Bible school teachers would do? Would we not examine what we're teaching? What am I saying, Lord, that's wrong that would bring this? What are we doing that brings your disfavor on such a wonderful people as we believe we have here? Suppose we had 30 to 40 years to correct ourselves. What's our greatest deficit? What are we doing, if anything, and I hope not, that would bring such disfavor from God? But that's what he's going to do. And then he said, have ye not read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. Then this strange verse. This was the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Now, I want you to turn to the 47th Psalm, if you will, please, if I can find where I've marked mine. Psalms 147, and you will see there in verse 20 a reference. He hath not dealt so with any nation, and as for his judgment, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord. He did something with Israel he had never done with anybody else. They had privileges, and these privileges are going to be taken away from them. And no more will these things be theirs. God Almighty spoke to the folks, and he said, this gate of the Lord under which the righteous shall enter, I will praise thee. And he gave that opportunity to them, but they squandered it and failed to keep it. And in the second psalm is a verse I want you to see, verse 12 of Psalms 2. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. So the finest thing then or now that we could ever do is be sure we love the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I wanted to look for just a minute at some obvious facts in this story. First of all, that, and this frightens me, the way the church grows, how effective are we? And do we really convert some folks? In the 15th chapter of John, he said, I want you to bear much fruit. There's no doubt that this story is emphasizing this. And there's no doubt the ones to whom he spoke. For in Isaiah 5 and 7, he said, the vineyard of the Lord is the house of Israel. So know for certain that I am talking to you. Now, this story that Jesus has just recounted came rather early on Tuesday morning as he's making his way from Bethany back to Jerusalem to do his teaching. And before him stands this magnificent temple. It's not large as men count great buildings today, but it was ornamental. It was overlaid with gold. It was rich beyond our understanding. People had been bringing for centuries their gifts there, and they had been accumulated. And Herod had given a vine, and the vine was gold. And the clusters of grapes on that vine were of gold. And they were as large as a man. Can you imagine walking in an edifice like that? And you see all this ornamentation. And Jesus looks at it, and he said within 35, 40 years, there won't be one stone left on the other. And it'll be trodden under the foot of men. That flops over into what we're going to study in the next week or two about the time of the Gentiles. What is the time of the Gentiles? Will it be taken away? Is there going to be a universal coming of Jews to the church? A lot of people teach that. I don't know that I see any evidence, whatever. But all that's bound up in these prophetic studies. So I want now for you to do two things for me. What does this that we have been looking at for weeks say about mankind? First, he can obey or he can reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. No man's going to force him. We've tried that. Crusades tried that. Inquisition tried that. Under penalty of death, they made men confess faith in Jesus. Well, that's not conversion. Mankind has the ability within him, and God gave it to you. When Don preaches another one of his wonderful sermons, and at the end of it, he said, we've got a song that's appropriate. And if we can help you in any way spiritually, we want you to come. And he outlines the fact that if you're out of Christ, you need to confess that faith, repent, and be baptized. And you can sit in this audience and not do it. Or you, as some of you have, with inspiration and joy, can come. So the very first thing I want you to see about man is that he can obey or he can reject. I want you to see, secondly, that rejection leads to cruelty. Can you imagine a man marching into a community that he starved half to death and taking his sword and opened the belly of men and women, of chopping to the ground a child? We have those stories that unfold for us in the newspapers about a mother killing her daughter. Can't imagine. But to reject Christ is the first step toward cruelty. And after man rejects Christ, he can become meaner than, as Willard said to me this morning, a two-headed rattlesnake. And it's difficult for that not to happen. But I need to face the fact that all men will not be won to the Lord. And it breaks your heart. I need to say next that the opportunities vary in the call of man. We're richly blessed. Nobody's going to be persecuted today because he's baptized into Christ. The strong arm of the law is not going to say that's illegal. Some families may have in it various ones that object. But this also shows the power of the great physician. Jesus is not afraid to tackle your sins. And he calls for each of us to repent and to change the way that we're living. And he will give us the ability to overcome. There's another thing I want you to see, that when these tenants saw these servants who are prophets of God Almighty come and preach to them, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, all of those wonderful men, the folks plotted against them, just as they did in this story. Did you notice they took counsel? It was not a spur-of-the-moment thing. They felt the impact of that parable, and they saw it was against them. So they called for a conference. And the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the publicans, the different ones that were leaders at that particular time, they got together. It was not a spur-of-the-moment thing. It was not somebody just popping off and a crowd followed them. But the tenants plotted what they would do to destroy this work that God Almighty had envisioned. And finally, about the men, they forgot, though they killed the son, threw him out of the vineyard, they forgot the father was still alive. And don't think that God Almighty is going to allow us to mistreat his son and get by without paying the penalty for it. So I want us to see that this is intended for us to be evangelical. So I am grateful that this lesson speaks to mankind. Now I want to close it by asking you, what does it say about God? Utterly patient and long-suffering is God Almighty. Would you have sent your son? They killed the prophet. It would look like to me just one assault. This landlord is asking for what's rightfully his. This is a financial investment. And he has a right to ask for something. But I saw in my God great long suffering. I saw amazing love. He sent his only begotten son. I read scriptures like Micah 7 and 18 where it said, God delights in mercy. You know, when this stuff descended on me, I thought, I'm going to get me a passage of scripture and memorize that and live by it. And Romans has long been one of my favorite books. And I went to Romans 12 and found verse 12, delighted in it. And it has three petitions in it. And it said, rejoice in hope. Secondly, be patient in tribulation. And thirdly, continue instant in prayer. And I thought repeatedly during the day while I'm in all this turmoil, I'm going to practice those things. Be joyful in hope. Well, what in the world have I got to hope for? I can't even lift up my head. I can't get across the room. Somebody has to help me. I can't eat any food, and I can't gain any strength unless I eat. And I despise the taste of food. Then you begin to bring me good things. You begin your calls, and you did everything you knew to do to stir up an appetite. So I rejoice, well, maybe somebody will call today. Maybe somebody will come. Lift my spirits a little bit. Patient in tribulation, never had more trouble. I dropped the cane and I couldn't find it. I would lose this other and couldn't find my glasses. My earphones went out and I couldn't find the batteries. Nobody else could find it. So here I'm just stuck in this squalor. And trying to learn patience wasn't easy for me. But I found it easy to continue instant in prayer. Don't guess I've prayed more for you, for myself, for the church, for an understanding of the scriptures, for the hope to get stronger so you didn't have to wait on me. And prayer came an easy thing for me. And when I couldn't hold my head up, I thought, since it's bowed, it's a good time to pray. So I practiced those three things, expectant in hope, patient in tribulation, continued instant in prayer.